we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in and making WMIE 91.5 a part of your morning drive, your mid-morning drive, or your early evening drive. We want to thank you for making the Refresh radio program a part of your day, and we want to send you on your day with a good word today. And so this is going to be the last of the broadcasts on sowing and reaping, and some of you might say, yay, finally a new topic. But it wasn't as long as the study on Isaiah, I'll just say that. So I want to take you back today to Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. And this is where we started, and this is where we're going to end. Just kind of a recap. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Verse number 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. So I just want to make sure that where we started is where we end, and that is that we walk in truth, not in deception. I don't know if you have ever watched an illusionist who get you to believe something is taking place that isn't actually taking place. But the devil is a master at that. And the most dangerous person to lie to is yourself. Whether that is telling yourself that you are better than you are, or getting us to believe less than what God wants us to have provided for us. God has provided everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. If I could, I would focus a little bit on this review about the will of God. Most of the people that I have encountered in my decades of ministry that want to know the will of God, they want to know, who does God want me to marry? What job does God want me to have? What is the specific will of God? Well, I will tell you this. The best way to find the specific will of God for your life is to begin following the general will of God for your life. And it says here that whatever we sow, we will reap. There is a will there. The will of God. It is the will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There is the will of God is harvest. The will of God is harvest for you. It is for me. He puts it out there. He said, here are the two menus that you can select from. You can either select from the menu of the flesh or the menu of the Spirit. Whatever you sow into, you will reap from. And so you need to make sure that you sow into the right field. Okay? We've got to have that mindset. So he says that God is not mocked. The devil has never outwitted God yet. You say, well, how can you say that? Look at what happened in the Garden of Eden, and I will point you to the Word of God, where it said that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was already willing to go to the cross to pay for your sin and my sin. Corinthians makes it clear that God is constantly outwitting the devil. He doesn't understand the grace of God, doesn't understand the mercy of God, doesn't understand the plan and the purposes of God. I mean, can you imagine how frustrated he was when he left the 40 days in the wilderness of tempting Jesus and Jesus didn't cave? He's like, this has worked on everybody else. Why isn't it working on you? Well, I believe that Jesus was fully cognizant of all that God could do for him. And because of that, he knew he did not have to go looking for an alternate source. He didn't have to go looking for an inferior supply company. He couldn't be enticed by things that God was going to provide even better than. And so the devil had to leave very frustrated. God will not be mocked. He will not be, his plans will not be hindered. They will not be thwarted. And that's his plans on a kingdom level. It's his plans on a church level, on a national level, international level. And it is also true for his plans for your life. I believe that when you get to heaven, when I get to heaven, we're going to look back and we're going to see that God prevented things from happening that we were completely and totally unaware of. So please do not think that God has chosen to bless everybody on planet Earth but you, and he's chosen to bless every church in the world except for your church or my church. It's just not the case. God's not going to be mocked. And so that means that for every seed that has been sowed, there will be a harvest. So we need to make sure that we sow to the Spirit. And of that Spirit, we will reap everlasting life. So the entire point of what we've been talking about with Galatians was to get from beginning in the Spirit in chapter 3. I'm trying to turn the pages here and they're not cooperating. From receiving the Spirit by the hearing of faith, we've begun in the Spirit. Christ redeemed us. In chapter 4, he's sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, where you and I have that relationship with God, that he's a loving heavenly Father. That we go into chapter 5 and there's an eagerness. We eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Faith works through love. And then we start walking in the Spirit. And then we are led by the Spirit in verse number 18. And then we produce the fruit of the Spirit. And then we live in the Spirit, verse number 25. We walk in the Spirit in verse number 25. That's a marching in the Spirit. And then in chapter 6 and verse number 8, we read that we sow to the Spirit because we are going to reap everlasting life. Everything about this study has been to get us to that place where we're walking in ultimate faith with God. You see, if you don't have any faith in God, you're going to cling tight to everything that you've got because you are so afraid that you are going to lose it. You know, there was an old song that came out a long time ago. It said the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. It's probably an old children's church song. But the truth of the matter is that if it came from God, the devil may intend for you to sign it over to him, but you don't have to. One of my favorite sayings is, if it's valuable enough that the devil wants to steal it, it ought to be valuable enough to us that we want to fight to keep it. And so if you go back and look in Galatians and you find where you are on that journey, ask God, God, will you take me? Will you take me further than I've ever been before? Will you allow me to see a harvest of souls like I've never seen before? Would you cause my needs to be met and my finances prospered so that I can be even greater involved in the work of the kingdom? I think I may have told you this coming Sunday morning, we're going to be presenting our missions offering, our district missions project to Merit Assembly of God, where we're believing that we're going to partner with the other Assembly God churches in the Florida area to see about planting 1,000 churches in a nation that needs a lot more Christians. They need a lot more churches. And so we're excited about that because it's about souls. It's not just about sowing finances and reaping finances. It's about sowing spiritually so that we can reap spiritually and reap everlasting life. You know, I don't know that I've ever heard a person rejoice because they still had what they always had. But I have seen people rejoice greatly because of things that they let go of, and it brought an even greater harvest than what they had ever imagined. And so if you've never been involved in seed time and harvest on a kingdom level, I pray that this study has kind of launched you into that. Maybe as we've been going through this study, you've realized, you know what, I've been sowing to my flesh, I've been sowing to my nature, I've been sowing to my will instead of God's will all this time. And you say, you know what, I'm tired of reaping the harvest that I've always had, and I'm looking for a different type of harvest. You know, if you don't like what you got out of the bin the last time, don't go back to that same bin. Go to a different bin. Go to a different supply house and say, you know what, God, I'm looking for better. It says this: don't grow weary. You know, that's so hard to do. I was getting my hair cut last week, and while I was there, I started hearing things in the room. I was having a conversation, and the guy on the radio, it was John Tesh, and he was talking about people who have sleep issues. Well, that's one of the things that I have. And he said what there some researchers had found, and I don't know the study he was quoting, but he said that he had found that, or they had found that people who have a lot of responsibility, they have some sleep issues, that there's so much going on in their brain that it is oftentimes hard for them to go to sleep. For me, it's not going to sleep, it's staying asleep. And he said, and they found that people who had no responsibility, that they had no problem sleeping. But the scripture talks a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and so comes poverty on a man like a bandit. You don't want that. That's not what you want. And so I was talking with a guy who cuts my hair, and this was a conversation that we've had a few times through the years. He's cut my hair for like 20 years. And I said, how is it that you're older than I am and you don't have as much gray hair as I've got? And he said, it's all that responsibility that you carry around. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm glad that God's made me responsible for a few things. But the study didn't just stop there. He said that one of the other things is that people who have responsibility have a reason to get up of a morning because they know that they have a purpose in this life, and that they find that people who don't believe that they have a purpose, that they don't matter, that they see no reason to get up. It's just another day. It's another day of eating and drinking and eating and drinking and eating and drinking until you get up and do it all over again the next day. I want you to know today that not only was Jesus willing to go to the, that he was not only the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, but before the foundation of the world, God created you on purpose for his purpose because he already knew you were going to be in existence. You are not a cosmic accident. You were created on purpose. And one of the purposes that God has for us is harvesting from the spiritual seeds that we have sown. Don't grow weary. Allow the joy of the Lord to be your strength. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." You want to make sure that if you're feeling overwhelmed in your strength, in your resources, that you don't abandon the harvest. You don't walk away. One of the saddest sights that I see is orange groves that have been abandoned. Because I look out there and I see the potential in those trees that are there, and yet there's nobody there to take care of them. There's a harvest that's being neglected because somebody found an easier way to do it. Listen, farming is hard work. It is absolutely hard work. I don't care how much technology comes along, it's still hard work. It takes a daily vigilance to, you know, make sure that nothing attacks the crop that has been sown. Don't grow weary. Can I encourage you? You need the church. Yesterday we were talking about building the church. We all need the church. I've made a statement for, you know, going on three decades. I don't know how people survive on their own without a church. I don't know how people survive not having relationships with people in the church. I believe that you have a biological family. You need to have a spiritual family as well, where it is not just about what can you do for me lately, but you have each other's backs. And as you and I are marching in formation and we're walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, living in the Spirit, that we realize how valuable that person to our right and to our left is. The person in front of us and behind us. Those who've lifted us on their shoulders. You need the church. I watched a documentary one time about wolves and how they take down a buffalo. And the way that they do that is the wolves just start creating panic in the herd. And the herd starts running. And the wolves can run for days, and the buffalo can run for days, but eventually the buffalo gets a little tired and they separate one of the buffalo from the herd, and they keep running it until it just can no longer run, and then it's too tired to fight. And I've got an evangelism video that I watched. It's a nature documentary about a water buffalo that's attacked by lions, and they chase this water buffalo into a watering hole, and a crocodile attacks it, and then the lions and the crocodile play tug of war with this water buffalo, and the lions eventually win. That was surprising to me. and everybody is thinking that this water buffalo is toast until the herd, one of the animals in the herd, says, you know what? I'm willing to risk it all to make sure that that buffalo, that other water buffalo, gets rescued. And once that one starts attacking the lions, the other ones start attacking the lions until, believe it or not, that calf that had been attacked ends up escaping. I'm sure he had some scars, but he was alive. He was alive. And so I want to encourage you today that if you are feeling overwhelmed spiritually, physically, you feel like you're getting weaker by the day, you need to get into a church. You need to get into a church who is going to pour into you the Word of God. They're going to be able to pray over you the words of life. And they're going to be able to strengthen you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let God be the one who is in charge. For in due season, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So there's the weariness aspect, and then there's the part where you just feel like giving up. You just feel like you can't go on anymore. And I was telling this story to someone here last week. It had to do with my grandmother. My grandmother, she passed away a couple of years ago. And 5 years before that, almost 5 years to the day, they called us and they said, look, she's had a health episode. She was 96 at the time, 96 and a half. And they said, she's had a health episode. If you want to see her while she's alive, you need to come. You need to come now. The doctors are saying she's not going to live. And so her son flew in from where he lived. Her youngest son, my uncle, I flew in from Florida. We arrived at the airport pretty close together. We drove in together, and we walked in to the hospital room expecting to see, you know, his mother, my grandmother, you know, just at death's door. And when we walked in, he walked in first, and she goes, oh, I have such a wonderful family. I've decided I'm not going to die right now. And literally, that's how she said it. I have decided I am not going to die now. And she revived. She walked out of the hospital within a week, and she lived for another 5 years. Another 5 years. Don't lose heart. Today, maybe this word is like my uncle and I were that day when we walked into the hospital room. Maybe today you were thinking about giving up on a marriage or giving up on a job or giving up on a dream. Maybe you thought that you were just going to give up on this God thing altogether. And today this word is coming to you, and it's striking a chord in your spirit. And you're saying, you know what? I'm not going to lose heart. I'm not going to lose heart. I'm not going to allow discouragement to steal my harvest. I want to speak to you today and let you know your harvest is coming. Your harvest is coming. Verse number 10, let us, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Christians behave differently than non-Christians do. At least we should. And I pray that God will give you some insight into something that you could do for somebody that would be a blessing to them. Do good to everybody. You know, you're gonna run into people who don't treat you very well. I'm not prophesying over that to you. I'm just describing the realities of living in a fallen world. Their bad treatment of you does not justify reciprocating that bad treatment right back on them. The world does that already. That's natural. God wants us operating supernaturally. And so I want to encourage you, be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for somebody that you could do something good to. You know what that might be? That might be something as simple as holding a door open for someone that that would be struggling to get through a door. That doing something good for somebody might maybe not a monumental thing. It could be just something that's an attentive thing. I don't know how many times that I have missed opportunities to do something simply because I didn't know somebody was there. But there is a special mention here in this scripture, and it says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You and I, as believers, that's where we are. I'll be honest with you. If the name of your church is a Bible preaching church, and you know it's not my church, I'm not here to build Bob Arthur's kingdom or Merit Assembly of God's kingdom. I'm here to build the kingdom of God. That's all. And so, if I find a believer, I want to do good to him. I've had a lot of conversations with missionaries, and they say things like this. When we're on the mission field, we're not nearly as concerned there with labels as what America is. Because on the mission field, you realize that you're in enemy territory, and the kingdom of darkness is being impacted, and you need brothers and sisters in Christ. You need one another. And I pray that we really come to the place where we get that here in America. And you know what you'll find? That if you sow seeds of blessing, if you will be doing good to those around you, and especially to those of the household of faith, I can assure you, your harvest is not going to be, it's not going to be lacking. Don't give up today. Don't give up. Make sure you're sowing to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Make sure you're reaping everlasting life and not corruption. Don't think that God is going to be mocked. Don't think that the devil's going to get the ultimate victory. He's not. You have got a harvest that is coming, and I look forward to hearing about it. God bless you. We'll see you next week here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.